Happy spring equinox, May. We're headed back to the sun. Man, we can say that we're headed back to the sun all the time. Tonight, I appreciate the chance to talk and share a little bit. I've used this phrase before. I'm going to give you a heart attack. That simply means I'm going to attack your heart and ask you to fortify it. And if the enemy attacks, you fortify, right? In this sense, I want you to make sure that you can withstand the attack. And what do I mean by that? Well, what we're doing is we're testing the heart to find out what's inside. And we're testing the metal of your heart to find out if you're tempered steel or if you're bendable tin. Just an analogy. The text that I'm going to use is Matthew 16, 13 through 19. You will recognize it. Reading from the ESV. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, all of them, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Question mark. And they responded, some say John the Baptist, the others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Not what the people say, but who do you say I am? Simon, being always up front, says, you are the Christ, you are the anointed, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Then he goes on to say, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is probably one of the most controversial verses. Catholicism is built on that one verse. And Peter, being therefore the first of all the popes, and the pope that we have presently, is supposed to have the office of Peter. Well, that verse takes, we have to unpack it a little bit. So we're going to do that. Isaiah 38:10 gives us a clue. Let me read it to you. I shall go to the gates of the grave. I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. So what is this gate? It's the gate that leads to the afterlife. So Jesus and Peter are having this discussion, and let's look at the setting. Where did this discussion take place? It took place in the face, in front of, a massive cave entrance. Which one? It's the one that's at the base of Mount Hermon. It's the place of pagan worship of Pan. Pan was the deity that could escort you in and out of hell. Wow. Very pagan. It's still there today. It's not moving. It's not going anywhere. And tours can take you there. You can see it. Now, the location is essential to our understanding of what this verse is telling us. This cave, being a mouth-like cave, a massive opening that goes into the mountain, sits at the foot of Mount Hermon. All right? It's at the base of Mount Hermon. Well, what is Mount Hermon? In Second Temple time, it was regarded as the residence, the house of divine beings. But these are not divine beings in the service of the king. It's a cave entrance to hell, the underworld. Not only is it the residence of divine beings that are in rebellion and opposition to our Father, they're of the highest order. That was the regard given to this. So the whole of Mount Hermon stands as the place occupied by those who oppose God, who preside over the dark world. And that mountain is referred to as the Rock. So when we think about it, Jesus is saying this cave entrance, which is regarded as the gate to hell, the gate to the life beyond, will not prevail against my church. And that's reading from ESV, of course. Well, what is this church? It's the word ecclesia. And ecclesia can mean this building. It can mean this group. It can mean church. It also means those who are his people. So the whole body of Christ is the ecclesia. Now, what does ecclesia mean? It means called out. Called out from. Now, we know that we, being called out, know his voice, and he knows us. He knows his sheep, and we respond to him. We're the called out ones. We're the ecclesia. We are the ones who belong to him. All of us. So ecclesia is not entirely and necessarily only an institution like a denomination or a church group. It is all of us. It's the people that belong to him. Well, Israel, by selection, remember Tevye saying, could you choose somebody else sometime? Well, Israel is a defined people group selected by him. They are an ecclesia. They are the ones called out from the world to belong to him. So both Jew and Gentile today in the ecclesia of Christ, we are Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. But we're all called out. So let's take a look at this in comprehensive terms. The gate of hell is the entrance to the demonic realm. Everything, this is, of course, in some Second Temple times. Mount Hermon is the house and the residence of that higher order of demonic entities, the demonic realm. But Jesus is saying that you, my people who are called out and who are called by my name, who know me and who I know, you are superior to that. How superior? Well, let's take a look at Isaiah 32:15. And my pages are Isaiah 32:15. Okay, everybody go there. Isaiah 32 and 15. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? We were imbued by him. When we were having a discussion earlier tonight about who's entitled to that, we are. Only us. Here Isaiah 32 talks of that. Until the Spirit is poured upon you from on high. That was the day of Pentecost, Shavuot. And the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. So what was wilderness, which means in that area it was like desert, it was lifeless. Now the lifeless area becomes fruitful. When we were before Christ, we were fruitless. We were a desert. No life. Now with him, with his Spirit poured out and poured into, we become a fruitful field. And field here is a metaphor for people. And the fruitful field grows up and is deemed to become a forest, meaning full of growth. Nothing small. Everything on a large scale. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. That's us. That's the superiority that we have over the dark world. Now, we're not to assume anything more about how we should react or respond or perform, but be sure of this, we are imbued by a spirit that is more powerful than everything that is dark. He is here, and he will never forsake us. He will not back away. You know, if you had a commander and he sends you into battle, and you go into battle and the battle becomes very fierce, a commander that stays with you stays with you. He doesn't just turn you over to the outcome of defeat. No, he stays with you. Our Lord will always stay with us. Look at 2 Samuel 22. So the demonic realm has the rock called Mount Hermon. But who is our rock? It's 2 Samuel 22. This is the close of... this is David. David, King David. And he's writing a hymn of thanksgiving. And it reads this way. 32 and 33. For who is God but the Lord? Any questions? It's him. And who is a rock except our God? So our rock is our God, and our rock is more superior to any other rock of darkness. This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. We are entitled to something so extraordinary, and it belongs to all of us, not just the Pope, or not just the sequence of popes. And it's not for the Pope to dish out life and a little bit of power and a little bit of righteousness over a railing. No, we can go boldly into the presence and stand in front of our rock and receive fully. Now, you know that Peter, he was later challenged. And in that challenge, he said, I don't know him. During that night, they arrested Jesus, and somebody said, there he is, there's one of his own, one of those, his followers. And Jesus, and Peter says, I never knew him. So when his mettle was tested, he turned. Fortunately, by Acts chapter 2, he's back, and he's speaking boldly. Well, let's take a look at a short list of those who were not for turning, who knew who he was, who he is. Abraham, he was pressed for his son's life and gave it up freely. God says, now I know I have all your heart. Now go and count the stars if you can. That's how great your offspring will be, now that I have your heart and all of it. Joseph was pushed to compromise in Potiphar's house. He said no, 12 years in prison. But he went on to be the most important person in that entire region. Moses was pressured into remaining a slave. And what did he say? He said, let my people go, repeatedly. Then he was also pressed by his own, who said, we challenge you for leadership. And the ground opened up and swallowed Korah. No, not for turning. Daniel was hard-pressed to bow, so were his friends. And they were unresponsive to every one of those demands. And they lived. So when we are pressured to make a choice which involves turning, we have to have, our metal needs to be like steel. But that comes in a gentle way. It comes over time where we fortify ourselves, fortify the heart with the knowledge of who he is, the reading of the word, the communion of the saints for encouragement and uplifting. Let me tell you just a few times when I was tested, very mildly. When I was commissioned, I was asked, what limitation do you have if you're an officer? I said, I will not bear arms against the state of Israel. They didn't expect that response. But they still let me join. When I stood before Rabbi Jacob Metz, this is Orthodox, when I was in the Orthodox community, he says, who's Jesus? Kind of like off to the side question. Who's Jesus? I said, he's the one whom we have waited for, who Moses and the prophets spoke of. The next day I was sent out of the community. I lost everything. So be it. Not that it was nothing, it meant a lot, but he means more. I attended a synagogue as a traditional Jewish man, while being, of course, a believer. And I was given a very high honor to be the first person who reads is considered to be a Kohen, a descendant of Aaron. I was given that position, even though I didn't say I am Kohen, but they offered it to me. They withdrew when I said that I was a believer. I understand this. When I interviewed for a faculty position at Liberty University, I went through a grueling examination. You know what the examination was? It wasn't about my understanding of Scripture. It was, will you represent a Christian faith, or will you defer to your Jewishness? And I said, I cannot deny myself. So it became very heated until the chairman of the board, of the faculty interview board, said, gentlemen, I think we have heard from the candidate, and I am satisfied. And it just ended like that. And that became, that started 20 years at Liberty, School of Divinity, teaching. You never want to turn from saying he's Lord. And when you're directly asked, you have to directly answer. Even if there's a cost of being expelled or removed, or maybe not admitted, you still have to do it. Because in every case, every time we say, I'm not for turning away from him, he adds to you. You may have to wait 12 years in prison, like Joseph. And you may have to go through all kinds of complications like Moses. But he always adds more to you in his sovereign time. Amen.
Amen.